Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the It Didn't Work call. What we're going to be talking about today are the things that we see in internet marketing that we're told are going to work and basically flat out don't. But normally, even those things can be a diamond in the rough. So to the best of my ability, I'm going to give you things that you can turn into income or turn into traffic or turn into improved search engine rankings and get you some results based on these ideas that, quote, don't work. Because just about anything can do something. Literally, just about any tactic imaginable can get you some results. So what you need to do is figure out how to make these things work. And my goal tonight is to give you as much insight as possible so you can start figuring out some of these things for yourself. If you can start turning some of this crap into gold, then we won't need to have calls like this. And you'll be able to do it all on your own. So it's built to be fun, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but seriously, most of that stuff really just does not work. So we're going to talk about as many of those things as we can come up with. So these are tactics, techniques, business models, all that fun stuff. And we're actually going to handle the BizOp type stuff first, because as most of you should know by now, my specialty is traffic and search engine optimization. So I'm going to focus on the things that really aren't my specialty first, and then we'll move on. So the first thing I want to talk about are, again, the BizOp type stuff. There's a program that I know for a fact is selling like crazy, and it's based around an idea of typing from home. The claim is that you can earn $1,000 a day typing a couple of minutes. And this is basically straight from the headline of this product, and it's selling like crazy. I have an inside track there to know that it is selling like gangbusters. So why would anybody believe that you could type for a few minutes and make an income, a real income online, $1,000 a day? Well, it is possible, but not in the way that it's being taught. The secret to typing at home is transcription. Now, transcription is where you take video or audio and turn it into text. There is no real good software that does that for you. There are ones that will turn text into audio. I've seen a few really interesting things. Dragon, naturally speaking, can turn your stuff into text, but you got to train the software and everything else. So again, transcription is how you can turn typing into income. What you would want to do is find people with audio products or video products and contact them and say, hey, would you like transcripts of this? Now, the best rate I've heard was $25 per audio hour. So if you can stay around that area, you can do just fine. One of the secrets to doing this effectively is to speed up the audio as fast as you can. That way you're not spending an hour per audio hour to type. The key to making this successful is that you have to be able to type and type quickly. So if you can't type, this is going to be a bit of a problem for you. You have to be able to type, and you have to be able to type fast. So if you can type, you can turn typing into income. But the key to doing it, again, is transcribing audio. That is the only way that I've ever seen or heard that is real when it comes to typing. Turning typing into money is through transcription. And if you've got any other ideas, feel free to push them through the form, and I'll be happy to talk about them. Another one is to write, which is not the same as typing. We're talking original ideas. Be a writer and make millions of dollars. And this is another similar product that I know has sold well in the past. again, it's pretty well garbage because most of the article writers I know of are getting $5 for a 400-word article. Now, a 400-word article takes the average individual 20 to 30 minutes to create. Even for someone like me, normally a 400-word article that I, let's say, I don't know anything about will take me 10 to 15 minutes. Guys, that's $20 an hour. You could get that in an upper-level management position at McDonald's. So it's definitely not true wealth and large amounts of money. However, there are some things that can be done with writing to turn it into real money. One would be to become a respected author, meaning a high-up figure in your market. If you can do that, your writing can make lots of money for you because you can create books, e-books, different training products, worksheets, etc., and then sell that for income. Another thing you could do is if you are good with creating products, even in markets where you aren't comfortable or don't have a large amount of knowledge, ghostwriting can be extremely profitable. I've seen 30 to 40 page e-books from start to finish run for $1,000 or more. Now, if you can do that in one day, $1,000 a day is a lot of money. If you're working 5 days a week, that's well over $200,000. You would have to find the audience and, of course, create the product. But that is a true business. We're talking multiple six figures per year to ghost write. But you have to be able to learn very quickly things that you don't already know and apply them to create a product and then be able to give it to somebody and have them see value in it. Now, we're talking one per day here. That's a lot. Creating one product per day is a lot. So if you're planning on doing something like that, you have to be extremely organized. Extremely organized to make sure that you've really got it together. Otherwise, you could end up in really, really big trouble. So I've seen numerous times where people took the money for a product and totally screwed over the customers. If you're going to get into that business, you have to be sure that you can provide what you're promising. You'll also need to provide a portfolio that they can check, some document you've written that shows that you are able to produce what you claimed you were able to produce. I did ghostwriting for a very short period of time, and it's much, much harder than most people would think. If you're great at creating products, it can be awesome. Otherwise, not so much. So Dr. Brown says buying bulk traffic to your site does not work, and that's actually something that I have on my list that we're going to talk about shortly. So the next is eBay. I don't know how many times I've seen different information products. We're talking dozens upon dozens of them that say, go on eBay and become wealthy. And here's the deal. That's definitely possible. I made a lot of money on eBay. And I'm going to tell you how I did it. However, you can't just go on eBay and sell everything that you own and think you're going to make a lot of money. You may make a couple of bucks. You may make some spare cash. However, doing it as a business, you're going to run out of stuff. So what you can do on eBay is, I'm writing down a question, so forgive me. Build a real business. Here's the deal. You need to have real products to sell and a large amount of them to be able to sell them on eBay and sell them well. The thing about that is you've got to know where to go. You've got to know where to find these products. So let's, for instance, I'd say Apple probably isn't the best one. Let's say we want to sell PlayStations. I was going to say Apple, but I don't know if they necessarily fall into this situation. Sony probably not as much either, but we're using them as an example. This is going to work best with a smaller manufacturer. So the one that I'm referring to is much larger than small, but that's okay. So say we've got Sony and we want to sell PlayStation products on eBay. We call up Sony. Nice young girl answers the phone and we say, "Hey, my name is so-and-so and I'm from blank company and I'd love to sell your PlayStation line of products." And then either she's going to ask you a question or two or tell you, "Okay, hold on please," and she'll transfer you to someone that you can talk to. When you get them on the phone, you need to immediately let them know the purpose of your call and tell them, "Hey, I'm calling because I want to sell your products, but here's the situation. We have a small business. We are looking to scale and bring in large masses of volume, but for right now, we're not ready to carry a large stock of your product. We would much prefer single unit fulfillment. Is that something you do?" And then you don't speak. You listen. Because normally what they're going to tell you is no. And you need to be prepared for that. So when you hear no, then all you do is ask them if they know of anybody that buys their products that would be willing to do single unit or small numbers in fulfillment. What you're looking for is someone who is willing to do something called drop shipping. Drop shipping is a situation where the manufacturer or a middleman, a wholesaler, will ship your product directly to the customer and pull you out of that piece of the equation. The beauty of it is that you don't have to carry a large stock of products. Many times, manufacturers will have a limit. So, for PlayStation 3s, you've got to assume that they're going to have you at least carry 20 to order 20 to 30 of them. So, if you're not able to sell 20 to 30 of them, or not able to keep 20 or 30 of them, or better yet, who wants to risk carrying 20 PlayStation 3s with a value of $400 to $600? $400 to $500 in their garage. That's freaking dangerous. I've got a simple side door that a little bit of broken glass and anybody that would want to could get into my garage. That's scary when you've got 500 times 20, we're talking $10,000 worth of PlayStations. Now this is again a for instance, but this is what I did with my mattresses when I came online and that's what I sold. And that's actually what I'm doing again now. I still had a lot of connections in that industry and I decided to go right back into it now that I'm working less hours and can apply more time to a new business. So I'm now back selling mattresses again. And I did that by contacting an old supplier that I had actually never ended up selling their stuff and made sure that they were able to assist me. So there is one simple way of doing it. There used to be a way where you could sell information products and do it to build a list of interested people in your niche. eBay removed the ability to sell downloadable products. The only thing you can sell now is DVDs or CDs. So training stuff on eBay has gotten a lot harder. Most of my stuff at this point is delivered via DVD or CD. So I could actually open up an Immortal Marketing eBay store anytime I wanted and be able to fulfill most of my products on eBay. However, there's another problem with eBay. eBay is built around the idea of getting a steal on anything you buy. So to be able to sell something on eBay, there are some very specific things that have to come into the equation. Number one, your markup has to be huge. You have to be able to have well over 100% of the cost of the product as the selling price. It's got to be a lot more because there are all kinds of things you've got to figure in with eBay. They're taking roughly 10% per sale, roughly 10% for each sale. That means every time you sell something, they're going to take 10%, and that stinks. For me, some of my products are well over $2,000. That's a lot of money. And you literally just have to hand it back. It stinks. Definitely not a positive situation. And one of the things that pushed me to doing business on the actual internet instead of just eBay and learning all the things that I know. If it hadn't been for eBay's crazy fees, you guys probably would not know who I am. Because I never would have had to learn search engine optimization. If their fees were reasonable, I would have just sat back and watched the money roll in. Instead, their fees were not reasonable. I put up a website. No one came. Had to learn search engine optimization. Decided I wanted to learn more about traffic. And here we are. I've done thousands and thousands of hours of studying on traffic-related stuff. So with eBay, you've got to make sure that your profit margin is there, and be sure to figure in all of your costs. You've got to figure in that they're going to take a big chunk of your money. Vinalda, yes, I can see the chat, so you can ask questions. the chat is where questions should be asked. So anyways, eBay can be outstanding, and I'm going to give you some of my tips to outperform other people on eBay, because I could have created an eBay product. In fact, I almost did. And then a bunch of people that I was going to end up being friendly with already were. And I just realized, hey, it'd be kind of silly to compete with Alex Jeffries and Jason James and these guys that are doing really well on eBay and whatever else. I'll leave it to them. So I left that to them, and I started doing SEO stuff, and here I am now, faculty at Stompernet. So I guess I did something right. When you're on eBay and you're creating listings, you want to look at the listings of your competitors. That's literally how I did it. Dozens of people have asked, how did you get so far so fast where you made money your first month? And it was through copying what was already good, what was already done. I was swiping the best ideas from every listing that I could see on eBay. No one hides what they do. And as I went on, I improved the listings as I went and got to a point where we were selling really well. That was because I answered all of the questions. I went through and I found everything that everyone else included in their listings and even included some more stuff. And honestly, I sold on features, not benefits, and we still did really well. The coolest thing about eBay is that it's literally like going to the mall. People go to eBay to buy stuff. That's what they're there for. They literally go to eBay looking for something to buy, or at least researching something to buy. So that's the best part. Imagine going into the mall with some stuff to sell and leaving with cash. Ooh. Sorry, guys. Great question. So that's eBay for you. If you have any questions, let me know. In fact, we do have one. I'm trying to write. Sorry, guys. Okay, so the eBay question. Now, I need a little bit of elaborating on this, Keith. How do you feel about flipping products from one country to another using eBay? It's being done a ton, Keith. I'm seeing it all over the place, and honestly, it's infuriating. Okay, now I understand. Okay. He says, for instance, buying an iPhone in the U.S. and selling it in the U.K. If it can be profitable and you're sure of it, absolutely do it, and do it now. don't wait. If you come up with a product that is hot, you should absolutely be buying it in the U.S. and selling it in the U.K. I would call that something you don't even need to think about. Because here's the deal. The U.K., I don't think they can even get an iPhone yet. I may be wrong, and I don't care if I am. That's not the point. If there's a product that's hot in the U.S. or in Japan or whatever else, people are going to want it. One of the one market that I know does insanely well is the imported video games market. For instance, I have a PlayStation 3 and a Wii. I know my PS3 will play foreign games because I actually bought a game on eBay that was made in China or Japan for, I think, the Japanese audience. I don't think PS3s are in China. So I see it, and I'm really upset because the game was Little Big Planet, if any of you know what that is. It was a game for me and my kids to enjoy together. So I was really excited about it, and it finally came. It took like 2 extra weeks because I was excited that I could get it for really cheap. It was an Oriental game. So I put it in the system, and the system automatically set it up to be English speaking. And it's the exact same game that it would be in the U.S. I just don't have the nice U.S. writing on the outer packaging. So, guys, these questions and comments are awesome. This is exactly what I was hoping would happen. So thank you all. This is really cool. So buying products in one market and flipping it into another is awesome. That's the same concept as flipping domains or virtual real estate or regular real estate, flipping houses. It's the same concept. You buy something cheap and you sell it high, but you've got to be sure that that's going to happen. So look for things like Google Trends. Look for actual selling numbers. Contact people and let them know, hey, I'm not going to be in your market, but I'd love to know what's selling like crazy right now. Contact importers and see what's doing well for them. Make it sound like you aren't going into their market, or offer to pay them for their time. If you offer somebody $100 for an hour, there you go. That's about as good as it gets. So flipping products on eBay, that's exactly how many people have made their money, and many products would have told you to do it. However, I'm not looking to flip stuff to make money because that's flash in the pan stuff. If you're just looking for a quick buck and you can get your hands on something, by all means do it. That's cool. And tell me all about it. I would love to hear about it. Definitely, if you can flip products on eBay, that's great, but it's not really a long-term business model. Definitely can and will make you money if you're very cautious about how you set yourself up. So by all means, check it out, make it happen, do your thing. So this one is more for fun than anything else. Does anyone remember the Get Google Ads Free product? It was the most ridiculous garbage I had ever seen. Get Google Ads Free, and it still sells like crazy. They were one of the top-selling ClickBank products just because the concept was so good. So what their product told you, normally I would not tell you what a product is, but this one was really bad, ripped off probably thousands and thousands of people. So it's not my product. I didn't make it. It's ridiculous, but I'm going to share with you what it is. The product's under the premise of Get Google Ads Free. Now, I don't know about you guys, but have you ever heard the term too good to be true? Because this sure as hell sounds too good to be true. So Get Google Ads Free. Here's AdWords, which makes Google millions of dollars every year. Millions upon millions. They may even do $1 billion in revenue just from their ads. So do you think they would allow a loophole that would allow you to get their ads for completely free? Well, of course not. And if someone put out a product like that and it was legitimate, Google would catch it in 3 seconds and turn that loophole off. So why did this product keep selling? Oh, I was going to tell you what the product is. The product is based on the premise of sell advertising on your site and drive traffic to your site based on that. Here's the deal. It's an interesting concept, if nothing else. If you're going to drive people to your site and then sell advertising, that's your method of monetization. So the traffic that you send, you don't want to pay for because you're giving away your profits. If you have enough traffic that you can sell advertising on your website, that's your way of earning money. In fact, I'm testing two different websites right now with just simple banners and buttons to see how they convert. And one is a blog, and one is a site I'm not willing to part with yet. I'll let you guys know at some point when my testing is through. And I'm testing paid advertising on these websites just to see how it goes. I'm testing banner advertising. I'm testing all kinds of paid advertising right now because it's something that I avoided for a really long time. And I can tell you, those sites that I'm sending traffic to, there is nothing on there other than a freaking buy button. There is no other way to leave my site outside of hitting an X. That's the concept of sending traffic to a web page. The more links on your page, the more likely they're going to click the one you don't want them to click. I'm sure you guys have seen where there's a sales page and there's a testimonial box and there's an active link in every testimonial box linking to someone's website. And here's what happens. You're looking at a sales page. You may or may not be interested in a product, and you see a link. Half the time, you're going to click it just because it's there. So either the link is going to open in the same window or a new one, and you just continue about what you're doing, and you lose track of where you were. People will not remember that they were interested in your product even 20 minutes later. Some people will, but many will not. So you're literally giving away your buyer to somebody else just because they gave you a testimonial. Now, out of respect, you should at least put their URL. That also shows that they're real. Some people will check and research while still in the buying process. But the easier that you make it for them to just click that link and go to a new website, the easier you're giving away your customers. So the concept of getting Google Ads free is wonderful, lovely, etc. Unless you're hiding their advertising at the very bottom of the page or something, which you still shouldn't do, it can't work. It's similar to arbitrage. The term arbitrage is based on the idea of paying for traffic that goes to a site where you're getting paid to send someone else traffic. So Google arbitrage was very common. You get cheap clicks in Google AdWords. You send people to your page that has nothing on it but AdSense. And you just cross your fingers and hope that they click on the ads and you make more than it costs to bring them. And some people made really good money with it. So at one point, it was a very viable way to make money. However, you needed to have money to invest. Then Google figured out that people were doing this and were gaming them and got really upset. It's basically, it was gaming Google. So another one that I've heard recently would be CPA arbitrage, where you pay for traffic through Google, you send them to a CPA offer. A CPA offer is something where you get paid for people not necessarily buying. It can be similar to an affiliate commission. Other times it'll be money for people giving their zip code or for giving their email. We've used variations on CPA for different free reports. For instance, Mike Filzaim, Russell Brunson, Harris Spellman, all were giving away 50 cents to a dollar for each lead that opted into their system. And honestly, I promoted a bunch of them when I was starting out, and it made a couple of bucks. And that's not arbitrage, but that's a similar concept. So CPA, you can make a good amount of money, but sending paid traffic can be really hard because many CPA offers don't pay you anything on the back end. So you're not making, you know, if they buy a $1,000 product, you don't get any of it. You only get the $30 or $20 or $10 for the initial sale or the initial filling out of a form. So get Google Ads free was ridiculous. However, it sold like crazy. So why would it sell like crazy? Well, number one, the sales copy. Sales copy is very important. One of the most important pieces of your business is your sales copy and your ability to get traffic to buy your stuff. If they're not buying, something's wrong and you need to analyze your sales process. Analyze your sales copy. You just have to figure out why they're not buying your stuff. So taking a look at something like Get Google Ads Free would be wise, because while the product is absolute garbage, it's sold like mad. So there are numerous reasons that it would have sold so well. The sales copy, the branding. I mean, just the idea, Get Google Ads Free. That's pretty freaking cool, if it were true, of course. So being that it's not, that kind of stinks. So, all right, we have a question related to AdWords. Jason put some tested dropshippers. You know what? Here's the deal. Jason, thank you for the resource. Anyone that is listed in a dropship directory is not going to be a good company to go with, because what's going to happen is everyone's going to try and sell their stuff, so your profit is going to be very low. The more competition, the harder it's going to be to make money. It's just a simple fact. The more people get out there, people will compete on price, not value, more often than anything. So if you're looking to drop ship, you're going to be much better off contacting the manufacturer, because you'll find companies that no one else knows will do something like that. So to find a responsible, reliable drop shipper, you have to check. You should initially, your first order for them should be something for you, even if it's something that costs $15, $20, $5, whatever. Check the shipping time. Talk to them. See how the communication is. It's something that you've got to check out, because you're the one who's going to get screwed if they don't put up and do what they say they're going to do. That is the most important thing that you could do. So if you're going to use drop shipping, you need to be sure that people are there and responding to you as much as you need. So we had some people with audio problems. I recommend against using something like Dropship Blueprint, because you're going to be better off talking to a manufacturer. However, check it out. It's worth a shot, and let me know if it goes well. I'm happy to be corrected. So Vinalda has an interesting question here. I hear two stories. One is that Google AdWords on your website or blog is just a traffic leak for a few cents when you should be advertising your own products or affiliate products. If you're sending someone away from your site, you want it to be worth it. Then there are those IMers that add Google AdWords to all of their sites. Okay, well, the internet marketers that do that, I believe, are foolish, and this is my stance. I actually got into an argument with one of my friends, and I'm not going to say who it was, because he had it on his site, and I sat down and I talked to him for a few minutes, and here's exactly what I said. I said, all right, here's the situation. You're on your blog, and you're promoting people's stuff. You're putting content and links pointing to people's products and recommending it to your followers. And then you have AdWords there. AdWords is supposed to put relevant ads on your website. So let's say you're talking about my traffic manifesto, for instance. Odds are, now this isn't a standard, but odds are that if you're talking about a traffic product, people promoting my stuff or stuff competing with my stuff, their ads are going to pop up on your blog post. So at that point, you're literally giving away a sale for 50 cents where they're going to make, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100 plus. So at that point, it's foolish. However, if your blog is nothing but content and you just love writing, there's nothing wrong with using AdSense as a earner for you. That's totally acceptable. And I think it's kind of silly, but it's totally reasonable. That's advertising, posting advertising on your website. It's another way to monetize traffic. And if that's the only way you can think to monetize it, that's totally okay. However, I do definitely believe that affiliate stuff is a much better way to go. At the same time, for AdWords, you get paid with every, or AdSense, you get paid with every click. For an affiliate product, you may be sending traffic and getting nothing for it. Or better yet, they could have something like an exit pop-up, capture your client, your traffic that you're sending to them, and convert it to a sale later where you may not get the commission. So you've just got to figure out what works for you and what's smart for you. AdSense will have a lower click-through rate than a standard link. So there are all kinds of options to monetize traffic, and if you can get me some more questions on it, we'll talk about it more later. Let's see. CPC is cost per click. Andre asks, what do you think of CPC ads? Nothing wrong with it, and I have some AdWords methods that it's not what the call's about. There are some sneaky tricks you can do with AdWords to reduce your cost per click. Well, I'll share this one. Just to be fair, I don't like being asked a question and kind of saying no. Cost per click is totally reasonable because you're paying for the traffic you get sent. Fraud sucks, and there's not much you can do about it. Google's instituted some things to try and catch that kind of thing, but still kind of hard. Your competitors will click on your ads to cost you money and get rid of your campaign so theirs moves up. It really stinks. It's a interesting concept and a real pain in the butt. However, there is a very smart method of using AdWords. What you should be doing is checking your base keywords, meaning the most basic thing anyone would look for your stuff. If you have office furniture, put in office furniture, put in chair, put in desk, see what comes up. And go to those sites and see who is running AdSense on their site. Sometimes you won't see any. But if they're running AdSense, do a specific campaign running on that specific website for the keywords that they rank for. So go and run through a few of them. And if there's more than one, bid on more than one. But if they rank for a term like desk, they're getting traffic. So your cost is going to be a lot less than a standard search for desk is going to cost you. That could cost you $5 to $10. However, running a specific campaign on this website may cost you 50 cents to $1 per click. And if you can monetize that, it's a really simple and obvious way to siphon traffic from these sites that rank well in Google. So that's my sneaky AdWords trick. So let's see here. I think I've answered all the questions so far. I think I'm going to move forward. Oh, wait. I do have some other questions. Shame on me. All right, there was one that I was... Oh, surveys. Get paid to take surveys. Here's the deal. If someone wants us to have you take a survey and pay you for it, they should be contacting you, not you contacting them. If you're contacting these companies or signing up for these companies and thinking you're going to make real money, Most of them don't want to pay you. Most of them are not legitimate. Most of them are full of crap. However, there are legitimate companies out there where you can actually make a couple of extra bucks or get discounts on things you might already buy. That kind of stuff is totally fine. But don't expect to become wealthy off surveys. This is one that I cannot tell you that it's going to work. So I was hoping someone would stump me, and I think that was Dr. Brown. Thank you. That's perfect. That's exactly what I was hoping someone would be able to come up with. In fact, surveys, I don't normally even use them for my customers. I ran a survey on Twitter yesterday, and out of 10,000 people that are following me, I had 3 respond to the survey. And it was ridiculous, totally and completely ridiculous. I couldn't believe that it was that few people out of that many would take the time to just click a button. And it truly was the case. And here's the deal. When you submit a survey to your clients, most of the time, they're going to answer what they think you would want to hear. Instead of giving the dead honest truth and what they really think, odds are you're not going to get accurate results. And I base that assumption and statement, it's not an assumption, excuse me, I base that statement on fact. I had a product roughly a year ago, I think maybe a little more, where I literally asked, what do you want me to teach you? And had 40 or 50 comments on the blog post telling me all kinds of different stuff that people wanted to know, and I incorporated it all. And the sales copy was decent. Very few people bought the product. Very few. It really stunk. So I base that on the fact that people just want to make you happy if they like you, respect you, etc. So you're going to be better off finding them talking amongst themselves in either forums or asking questions on Yahoo Answers, that kind of stuff. So I recommend going that route instead of asking your customers for surveys. Okay, Vinalda says, another conflict on surveys. I hear from many experts that you should ask your list what they want. What is your biggest question about XXX? Again, I did that. It didn't work. The product didn't sell. And the copy was decent. It was written by an actual copywriter, which at that point, most of my products were not. And it didn't sell as well as most of my other stuff. So here's the deal. Catch them talking amongst themselves and you'll find their real problems. If you ask them what their problems are, they may not even know. You have to be smart enough to gauge what the conversation is telling you, what the questions they're asking means. If you can do that, then you can figure out exactly what your customers are looking for. So again, I'd recommend finding your customers talking amongst themselves. Go to popular forums. Go to Yahoo Answers. I actually have a trick where I get free leads where I put into Google Alerts questions related to my products. How do I get traffic? How do I get free traffic to my website, etc. So if you find them talking amongst themselves, you'll be set. If you set up Google Alerts, you'll get notice. So it's completely up to you and how you want to go about it, but you definitely should be looking to them talking to themselves. I did say run an AdWords campaign on a specific website. I recommend looking on YouTube for a tutorial. That we're running out of time. We're already half done, and I'm not even halfway through my list. So this specific question, being that I'm definitely not an AdWords expert, you're going to want to look how to set up. Actually, check their FAQ and check their help section at AdWords. Let me give you the step-by-step to what I said. Do a Google search for very basic keyword terms and then run an AdWords campaign specifically on those websites that rank well for it. You'll pay a lot less per click than if you just bid on coming up for desk. It's not going to work as well, and it'll cost you a lot more money. So So how does worldwide brands fit into the dropship conversation? Good company or too many users? I actually know the CEO of Worldwide Brands. They have ties to Stompernet, and she is an absolute doll, brilliant woman. And I know for a fact that Worldwide Brands does look to help people as much as they can. However, you're going to run where some of the companies are very high competition. And one of the keys is you're looking for products with a very high markup, and so is everybody else. So I don't know if Worldwide Brands would be a viable solution. I adore their CEO. She's a doll. I have to look at their solution before I would ever recommend it, and I have not done so. Tom, you know that I take the time to actually look at stuff before I recommend it. Worldwide Brands, as far as I know, I would give a thumbs up, but I'd still be really concerned that their best drop shippers would have too many people selling their stuff. Here's a good one. So far, the more followers I get on Twitter, the less response I actually get to my posts. I attribute it to information overload, too many tweets to try to go through. That's absolutely the case. And here's the thing. Twitter is overflowing with new users every day. So what's happening is everyone is following more and more people, and it's becoming harder and harder to remain a part of the conversation. So mind you, the survey was posted fairly early in the morning when Twitter's actually at its lowest usage, but I did that on purpose because I wanted to see what kind of response there would be. And the people that were following me, if they're following me for me. And honestly, I've been really bad with tweeting. I just don't have the freaking time. I'm really busy with work. So, you know, the goal is to have conversations with cool people, but it's just not that easy to do. It's a simple concept that doesn't work all that well. Mark, I can't repeat that. I hope you guys are reading the chat. He meant to type Twitter and missed the W. So sounds like you need a blank manager. So, okay. Yeah, but now the people don't realize what's wrong. She's done informal surveys against their people's health, and people said nothing. They said they're perfectly healthy, yet they're still on the list and wanting to know health stuff. So anyways, I really don't want to tweak my Twitter list. I'll get them to pay attention. As you guys know, I can do ridiculous and crazy things to get attention. So that's all I will do. Let's see here. We had more questions. I'm going to approach them before I get into the things that I wanted to talk about, which are SEO and traffic related. So why don't we try and steer the questions that direction? If you have a question related to SEO or traffic, go ahead and post that. But one of the things that I have to get to is how to turn things like guaranteed traffic into income in some way, shape, or form. Traffic exchanges, and my favorite one. So, yes, there are new traffic methods, definitely. But we'll get there. Let me answer some of the questions. Okay, why isn't everyone buying my stuff? ECS Dave isn't here anymore, but he posted this before he left. And Dave, it's a very simple process. Send traffic to a website and test. If no one buys anything at all, it's totally broken. But test a headline against a headline or, you know, graphics against no graphics and see if you sell. Test it against roughly 1,000 visitors to each variation and pick whichever one does best. Then test something else and simply keep testing. Eventually you'll get to a point where your conversion is going to be where you want it to be and where you need it to be, and you'll be making money. So when you get there, people will be buying your stuff. So you've just got to give people a reason to buy your stuff. Your copy and your graphics, your headline, all that stuff, it all adds up. So you've got to be very, very careful. So if you want to get more money, either get more traffic or better conversion. Those are the two things that really fill into this situation. Then there's things like refund rates. My standard refund rate is around 1%. However, I do have my software product where the refund rate is roughly 20%. And that's actually standard. It sounds horrible, and I hate how much it is. But the simple fact is people don't read a sales page all the way through. They just simply don't. So people will think that I'm selling them Trafficizer in a box for $297. And the simple fact is, if it was Trafficizer, I would be charging $2,000 for a one-time payment, or $1,000. There's no way I'd charge $297. I set up the automator to be the way that it is. I set it up to be that way because I wanted to be able to control my stuff. Alan, I've got you on the list, bud. We're getting there. Okay, JB, the big dogs are too hard to reach, and you're absolutely right. It's almost impossible to get joint ventures from the big names. And here's the thing. I am turning down my friends left and right, getting me to promote for them. And honestly, my list isn't anywhere near as large as some of the big guns. And I just don't have the time. I have too much of my own stuff going on because I'm the best at what I do, and I know that my customers need my help. So instead of recommending everyone else's stuff all the time, I've got my own stuff, and I have my own business. So without me having a business, I can't help my friends. I do what I can to help people when I can, and I promote what I feel are really good products. But I've got a lot of my own. So I turn down my own friends all the time. So when I get a JV request or a recent one is because I have my software, a lot of programmers are asking me to market their stuff. And unless it's really freaking cool, I'm just not interested. I don't have the patience. I'm not going to do it. I just bought source code rights to 5 different software products yesterday that I'm going to put together and sell. And very simply, I've got my own stuff. So to get around that, become friends with the big guns. That's the only way you can do it. That is the only way. So if you're my friend and you ask me to promote something, your odds are much better than somebody else. So if I know you, I may just promote your stuff. If I don't know you, you guys are my friends, but odds are I'm not going to promote something for you unless you've got something that's really cool, really breaks the mold, will totally help my customers. At that point, it just can't be done. So let's see here. All right, dominate local markets. All right, the first thing you've got to do is submit your site to the local search engine pieces. So Google Local, Yahoo Local. I don't think MSN has one. I'm laughing at your comments. So get on the local pieces, especially Google. Google is always the most important. Google is the top gun search engine, and you've got to be listed in their local directory if you're a local business. Even if you operate out of your home and will do local business or will do consulting, you have to be listed there. So submit your business to the local search areas. Then there's the on-page stuff. You have to have the city on your page, and it has to be readable by Google. You should include it in your title tag. If you really want to rank well for it, include it in your domain name. Now, I live in Sarasota, Florida, so SarasotaInternetMarketing.com, if I was looking to do local consulting, would be the perfect domain for me. So absolutely, Alan, put your local city, area, your state, and put Horse Farm Summer Camp. There are a lot of kids that are so passionate about horses. My wife is not a kid, but loves horseback riding. And that's something that she would want to get our daughter into. So if I couldn't find you via Google, I probably wouldn't look any further. So you've got to make sure Google finds you. Then the next step is to link to your site using those words. She must be nuts to be my wife, let alone anything else. So put up as much content as you can, and just get your info out there. Write some articles. Put up a blog. Thank you, Teresa. The reason search engines like blogs is because it's very easy to build links to a blog. It comes with tools that do that. And we'll talk about it a little later. So to dominate the local market, there's another thing. Well, videos. Yeah, that's really good. Look and see who's ranking well, and do a link colon search in Yahoo and find out what links are pointing to their website, what they're saying, and what they're doing to market their site. Because odds are you can outdo them by simply doing the things they're not doing. So if they're just trading links, that's so easy to knock out of the way. I saw someone ranked for a really competitive term, top three, just trading links. And here's the deal. It still works, but it's not going to work for long. So your best bet is going to be to create one-way inbound links through quality content and just do it as much as you can and keep linking your site with variations on keyword terms that you would like to rank for. And that's really the bottom line. So, and actually, let's move right into the SEO it didn't work stuff. The amount of links are all that matters. I've heard this over and over again. All you got to do is drive. I have seen the Wonder Wheel, Keith. All you have to do is drive as many links pointing to your website as possible. Not true, because it's actually an equation and a very complicated one that Google uses to figure out who should rank where for what. So the deal is that it's not just the amount of links, but also the quality. If you can get the White House to link to you, whatever term they put, you should be almost number one immediately because they link to no one. It's also a very high-quality website in the eyes of Google. So it's quality plus quantity is what gets you your page rank, what gets you your rankings, and, of course, the terms in the link itself. So definitely not just the amount of links. I've got a bunch of SEO questions, so I'm going to go through this next one quickly. Keyword density. I recommend a keyword density of 2 to 5%, but on a total, way more important thing, you need to be writing your content for a human being, and don't worry about how many times a keyword pops up in your content. That's ridiculous. To try to rewrite an article to ensure that, you know, underwater basket weaving is in there one extra time, that's nuts. Focus on writing for people, and that's the bottom line. All right, Teresa, I don't have time to tell you how to rank for blog installations. You need to do the research. You need to see who's already there. You need to see what they've done, and go for it. WordPress blog installations would be better to rank for than just blog installations, but you've got to do your research. So there's that. Let's see here. All right. I think SE Nuke is not so great. Holy poop. Guys, slow down. I keep trying to scroll down and find your questions. I'm trying to go through. Oh, goodness. All All right, let's see. Would you guys stop typing for 1 minute, please? All right, let's see here. I have seen the Wonder Wheel. I haven't played with it a lot yet. James Schramko, a friend of mine, he put up a video on it, and I checked it out. It looks pretty interesting. It's just a way to narrow it, but odds are with something new like that, Keith, it's going to take a while to be implemented. It's going to take a while for people to figure out that it's there and start using it. So I wouldn't sweat it too much. I'd focus on using things that have just worked. Build links using as many different methods as you can. Don't try to do any spammy garbage, and just make it work. Socialmarker.com. Andre uses socialmarker.com to get his sites out there. Okay, here's the deal. If you're going to use social bookmarking to get your sites out there, that's great, but you're leaving 90% of your traffic at least on the table. Social bookmarking is such a tiny piece of traffic. You'd be much better off focusing on video, on articles, on press. Focus on the things that will drive you the largest amount of visitors. Social bookmarking isn't it. It can be good for getting a new site indexed. The more places you have links pointing to your website, the better. However, I wouldn't spend a lot of time on that. I'd focus on creating good content and using Social Marker when you know you've got something that's worthy of being bookmarked. How do I approach town sites? Well, Alan, I don't. But if you want to rank for the name of a town, include it in your title tag, include it on your page, and link to your site with the name of the town as much as you can. And that'll do it. It's really simple. Let's see. What about creating a separate blog for every single keyword? That's ridiculous. And not to be insulting, Benalda, I understand that it's a valid question, and I see it as a valid question. However, it may rank well, but it's going to be just impossible to keep up with it. You could put something up on like WordPress.com. It normally ranks really well. Do some pinging after you post. Post once or twice and never go back. And just make sure that you can go back in and update your blog to point to new stuff for your sites, because odds are that it'll rank really well. And the goal is to simply push them into your site. That's ridiculous. Okay, let's go back. I was about to answer a recent question. Vinalda, tagging your post properly and things like that will help. One keyword per blog is too time consuming. SE Nuke. I have a software that competes with it that's not as automated. Keith, I believe any of those totally fully automated softwares ruin your content. I haven't seen one that works the way that they claim it does. SE Nuke, I've heard their support is outstanding. And I do know that a lot of the thoughts behind it are solid. However, it's almost all social media based, which it's going to get slapped. Google's going to knock many of them out where they're not performing like they used to. So I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket. My software's built on the things that have worked for years. So that's okay. If it works, it works. It's called the Internet Marketing Revolution, Keith. It's a super submitter. It's marketing in a box. I'm not here to talk about that, though. So, let's see here. Is Google PageRank still the number to watch in terms of quality and the quality versus quantity debate? PageRank, I see, is useless outside of one thing, if you're ever planning on selling your website. That's the only time where it's relevant and important, because people will see that as a measuring factor. So that's how that is. Let's see here. Any thoughts on Angela Edwards' package on the Warrior Forum, giving 80 sites to put anchor text on pointing to your site? They could be totally not related to your content, but appears to work for her. Keith, if it works, it works. I'm not against using things that A while back I told people don't even bother trading links, but here's the deal. It still gets people rankings. However, it's not that current. that method is really old. Google does not like it. In fact, I used to trade links, and I got my website de-indexed for 6 weeks, where AdWords was the only traffic I was getting, and it really sucked. I understand, Keith, that they're public sites, and there's nothing wrong with them, and that's great. Getting an authority link pointing to your website is awesome. I would tell you to test it. Give it a shot, see how it goes, and if it works well, stick with it. If it works for you, keep doing it. You've got a mind, and you should be using it. So, let's see. Vinalda, very few blogs are PR5 or higher, even though they may be getting buckets of traffic. Strange. I got tired of trying to find PR5 or higher to link to and comment on. If I were you, I would focus less on the page rank. And unless you're looking to flip the website, just try and get as much content and as much of your ideas out there on the web as you can. Syndicate your ideas. It'll work. Do you have any tips on reading material to stay on top of new traffic methods? Well, I'm going to be covering a bunch of them in the Net Effect, which is Stompernet's journal or magazine. So that would be one place. I would focus on things like TechCrunch to see what new things are coming out. I haven't seen anybody release a product on how to get an iPhone app made. I'm betting there is one out there. I haven't looked because I have a buddy who does it. But, iPhone apps, widgets, SMS marketing, those are the things that are going to be the focus soon. They're important. And they're going to be standard. Good for you, Terry. That's awesome. iPhone app product was released today, or you had an iPhone app released today? Okay. Let's see. How-to product. Okay, that's cool. Good for whoever made it. I hope it does well. Yeah, Market Samurai is one of the best research tools out there. I think it's the best research tool. What would you say is the best way to get the backlinks to get the votes to rank high? Okay. If you're looking to get backlinks, the best way to get backlinks is to use multi-tiered methods of doing it. So don't just use social bookmarking. Use article marketing. Use press releases. Use web directories. Use social bookmarking. Use RSS. Use different blogs. Use multiple methods and use as many as you can. You don't want to have the same sites always linking you because eventually you don't get the results. So the bottom line is you need to use as many methods as possible. When I do consider an info product a failure and move on to something else, how long do I keep at it? Vernon, if you've got content, you can turn it into something else and make it make you money. There are always solutions. So I had two products flop 2 years ago in a row. So I wouldn't consider an info product a failure. But you have to look at what's causing it not to sell. So is it the name of the product? Odds are you could change the name and sell it even more. Or sell it for the first time, whatever the case may be. Could it be a sales copy question? There's a guy in the Warrior Forum, you can pay $200 to fix your sales copy for you. One of my products I sold resale rights to, and that made money. Then there was another one that I combined with a first product. to make the first product better, and then that sold more, which actually ended up being my traffic manifesto, which has sold thousands of units. So there's numerous different things you can do with an info product to keep going with it. However, if you never got any sales, there's no one looking to buy it, no one knows who you are, and then maybe it would be worthwhile to dump it. Vinalda, I did miss your question. Thank you for retyping it. If I have a blog and a separate squeeze page opt-in, where do I send people in my marketing efforts and Web 2.0 properties? Okay, you need to combine them because you don't need a squeeze page for a blog. You need a squeeze page if you want to use it for a sales page. Otherwise, don't use it. What you need is something like an exit pop-up or a hover ad or something like that that will come up on your blog and get them there. You send the people to one address. Dump the squeeze page. Get rid of it. So, Dave, yes, I did answer your question, and now I'm moving on. I think I've answered most questions. If not, please type it in again, and I'll come back to it. Again, we've got 15 minutes left. Vinalda, I have resale rights to that. I'll be releasing it at some point. Yes, buying traffic to bulk traffic to your site can work, and I'm going to talk about how, and I'm going to talk about it now. So guaranteed traffic, the conversion is usually zero, and you could buy 100,000 visitors, and the conversion is still going to be zero. And the reason for that is that it's either totally untargeted or it's robots or whatever else. So how can you turn this bulk traffic into something? Well, let's think about where traffic can count. Well, if you're me, I could send traffic anywhere and just show the proof, right? It's credibility instantly. Now, I don't do that because I believe it's unethical, and I don't want to try and pull the wool over anybody's eyes. That's not my goal. So for me, that's not a solution, but credibility, if you're in internet marketing and teaching other people how to market, that's awesome credibility right there. Bottom line. So all you've got to do is send 100,000 visitors to a website in a period of a week, and you've got proof. You know how to get traffic. So what else can we send it to? How about something like a banner exchange? You do a banner exchange with people in your market, in your niche, etc., and every time you show your banner is supposed to be shown. A 1-to-1 trade or a 2-to-1 trade, etc. It depends on the way these things are set up. So you send 100,000 visitors to a page full of nothing but banners that no one knows exists, and all of a sudden your banners are popping up everywhere. That will get you more traffic. So what else could it be used for? Now, I have not tested this. I'm going to. How about a YouTube video? If the video plays, it counts as a view, and there's more credibility. So buying bulk traffic is not smart if you want to get them to buy something. But there are other actions that can equal cash depending on the market that you're in. So buying bulk traffic can make you money in the long run. So the next would be traffic exchanges. I've seen people put up all kinds of websites in traffic exchanges. And absolutely ridiculous stuff. However, what are people who are using traffic exchanges looking for? Traffic. So they're looking for make money stuff. They're looking for internet marketing stuff because if they're on the traffic exchange, they're doing business on the internet. They want to get traffic to their offer. So what are their biggest pains? What are the things that they need to know about most? That's what you need to provide for them. Even if it's a free report, you can build a list in internet marketing as a side business. Go into traffic exchanges, buy a bunch of credits, build a list, and promote stuff. It won't be the best converting traffic ever, but it will make you money. Artie, you asked me earlier how the move's going. We're getting there. Still, tomorrow is the big packing day where I'm really helping. So back to traffic stuff. I'm always asked, what is the best way to get traffic? What is the best way to get traffic? And people have forced me into answering it. And the truth is, I believe a blog is the best way to get consistent traffic to a website. However, it's not the only way. And it may not be the best way in your market. Getting traffic to your website is not about you. It's not about your business. It's not even about the products you sell. It's about your customer. It's about your potential customer and where they're going, what they're doing on the web. Where are they hanging out? I mean, some of your customers are going to be spending 50 minutes a day on YouTube. I think the average amount of time a visitor at YouTube spends there is 43 minutes. 43 minutes. That's a huge amount of time, considering that most people are on your website for 3 seconds or less. That's huge, guys. Pay attention to the way you surf the web, because odds are that most people, at least on some level, surf just like you. But then you've got to consider the people that don't. How about the people that, you know, listen to a podcast every day on their way to work? Plus, if they've got an iPod, odds are they've got money. How about gaining the attention of Oprah and her audience? If you were doing something cool enough to get on Oprah, wouldn't you want them to find out? Well, they don't sit and scour the web all day looking for you. You have to go to them. So you go to them by putting together a really good press release. Put it out. If they notice, if they like what you're doing and they want to talk to you, they will contact you. These things all work. Articles. You know, you hear people, I've heard people write about the death of article marketing and this and that. Google doesn't read video. Google can't listen to your audio. Google reads text. So it will not die anytime soon. Many people like the ability to read something and go away whenever they want. How about the ability to scan? You can't get that with video. You can fast forward, but you have to wait for the video to load. That stinks. With audio, you have to wait for the audio to load. So there's stuff missing there. Your best bet is to cater to every imaginable customer that you can. Not just one, not just two, but all of the above. Balance your time. Do it one step at a time. Become good at one thing. I'm not telling you you need to submit articles, audios, videos, press releases, all starting tomorrow. Take it one step at a time. Don't just do a big dump where you know, you're putting out a bunch of garbage that no one's going to want to read. You want to put out good stuff. You want to put out the best stuff. You want to put out great content. So if you're putting out that great content and putting it out in as many ways as possible, you're going to get results. And if you're smart about it, meaning using anchor text links instead of just putting your URL all over the place. Ranking for the words in your URL is important, but odds are you'll do it with next to no effort. You need to be using the words that you want to rank for in the links pointing to your website, and different variations on it. You don't want every link to your website being targeted traffic generation. That's going to make you look like a spammer. So use different variations. Always include your most important keyword terms and link to your website. Do it using good content, and you really can't lose. You're going to get traffic from the content that you put out, and then you're eventually going to get search engine rankings. It all depends on how competitive your market is, and no one can tell you that other than Google. Market Samurai would be one way, but I still haven't even figured out all the intricacies of that software. Again, I just don't have the time. So all these things are really simple if you just learn what your customers' needs are. They're really the core. Your audience is what's most important. Give them what they want, and they'll give you you their credit card number. And that's really the bottom line. You've got to remember that your audience is human. You've got to remember that they have needs, they have wants, and you want to help them. So how can you help your audience? Another one asking about SE Nuke. honestly, I think it's bound to fail in the long run. It's an automated program. Anything automated is bound to break, and it's totally based around social media, which concerns me because social media is important. But no, Dave, it's okay. I don't believe SE Nuke will be as effective as it is today in the long run. Three-way linking, here's the thing. Any pattern that you give Google, they're going to figure out in the long run. I think that a lot of SEO people give way too much credit to Google. So they aren't that good. So let's see. I definitely use a podcast, a blog to manage my podcasts. Google is not the only game in town, but it is the biggest. I would point to the front page and inside pages as much as you can. Thanks, Teresa, for that. Michelle McPherson, who's a friend of mine, she's awesome. Gives great tutorials on how to use Market Samurai. Let's see. Actually, Vinalda, I do use a support desk software, and I'm going to tell you why. And we're actually going to close soon. I'm only going to be taking one more question after this one. So, okay, let's see here. I use a support desk for one reason and one reason only. I want it to be personal, and my emails weren't getting to my customers, and I lost money from it. And I actually did have a support desk installed because now I guarantee the delivery of my response to my audience, which is very important. If someone needs help, I have to be sure they get it. And even my Gmail address was ending up in people's spam folders, not being delivered. It was horrible. So I definitely recommend a support desk now. I think it's HESC is the one that I use. So let me try and approach as many of these as possible. I was just going to take one. Let's see. Two traffic methods. No way. Kim, I couldn't do it. I don't believe that it would work. Teresa, I actually use a plugin called PodPress on my WordPress blogs, and it's important because you need your RSS feed for your podcast, and it manages it for you. So it works really well. Let's see. Vernon asked if I'm going to give a recording. The recording's still going, and Dave has been recording it as well, so I should be able to provide the recording, definitely. Let's see here. All right, so let's get to the reason for this call. Recently, most of you saw that I launched a product, and it was expensive. It was a $700 product, however, worth way more than that. And people signed up. I'm not backtracking from the product. I'm happy with the way that it went. And the product is going to be a permanent piece of my back end. I'm just going to raise the price as time goes on. However, that's not what I'm talking about here. I realize that a lot of people need help. They need help. And I'm one of the few that can provide real, actionable stuff that's actually going to work. Most people with SEO and traffic stuff are full of crap. So I went through and I was looking, what can I do for my people? I've already given a lot of my older products for massive discounts, so those are gone. But what about all the stuff that I figured out? What about all the things that I figured out over the last year since I've really created new stuff? I mean, the last new thing I did was an 8-disc DVD set that I never even put out to you guys. It was part of that big program that I just released. So I decided to do a brand new program. and it's actually based on a domain that I've had for a long time, SEOandTraffic.com. So what this is going to be, it's going to be a virtual workshop, similar to the way that I ran my virtual seminars. So any of you that were at that, you understand a little bit of the layout. It's going to have screen capture, PowerPoint, that kind of fun stuff. It's going to be a four-week workshop. And what I also did was put my three DVDs and my best content in there as a bonus. So it's a $300 bonus. And for the first 50 people that sign up, it's going to be $97 at SEOandTraffic.com. I did that because I want to make sure that anyone that needs this can afford to sign up for it. This is all new content except for the bonus. So SEOandTraffic.com, you can see that. And again, it's $97. Most people would charge $297, $497. I wrote the sales copy, so it may not be the most persuasive thing ever written. But if you need help with search engine optimization and traffic stuff, I'm the guy for it. And I want to help you. So go ahead, take a look. SEOandTraffic.com. And hey guys, I really appreciate you being on the call with me. I had a blast, and I think we're going to be doing stuff like this a lot more often. I really enjoy interacting with you guys. So we're going to do this again soon. I'm going to be sending that out in the morning. I do expect this to fill up. I'm probably only going to take 100 people for the first go. And then we'll probably release it as a DVD product for it, probably $197. So thank you all for being here. And it was a lot of fun. Again, we're going to do this more. So, by the way, those of you that own the Traffic Trinity will be getting SEO and Traffic, so please don't buy that. That'll be thrown in as an unannounced bonus, so you'll be able to attend the live stuff there too. So, once again, SEOandTraffic.com. Check it out. Thank you all for being here. Have a wonderful night, and I look forward to talking to you guys soon.